Peter Wallace here. Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. And with us today is Bishop Ronald Warren of the Southeastern Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, headquartered here in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, Bishop.
Thank you.
Tell us how your journey in the ministry began. How did you sense God's calling?
I remember as a child, I was brought up in the Lutheran Church, and I remember 3 years of what we call confirmation instruction, leading to the rite of confirmation. And I didn't love memorization, but that was part of that process. And not knowing that those early years would shape me, despite some of my adolescent rebellion. But I remember in the memory work, one of the things that we were required to memorize was Jesus' Great Commission in Matthew 28. That memory work never left me. And as a parish pastor serving in single parishes and now in this office that I hold and I'm grateful for, the Great Commission has been my guide. And it has opened, particularly serving in as a bishop, has opened up the world to me in ways that I would have never realized. So that when I think about practicing my faith, I don't just look locally, although I'm a member of a congregation, obviously. I'm thankful for the church that I represent because we have incredible national and global ministries that, in effect, we are able to reach out globally in the name of Christ. And so I look back. Pastor Ernie Kempfer, the late Ernie Kempfer, so many years ago, said, "You need to memorize this." And those days had never left me.
Mm. You explained a bit about what a Lutheran bishop does on our Day One program, but I wonder if you'd summarize once again some of the various aspects of your leadership role.
Obviously, the most important is relating directly to our congregations. And especially in terms of when pastors resign and move, call process becomes critically important. We also educate, give opportunities for education, ongoing education as disciples in our congregations. But then also, as we had talked earlier, the whole issue of reaching out into our communities, particularly when there are disasters. And recently, all over this country, tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, that becomes a way of exhibiting our love for Christ and for others when we have those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. You were telling me earlier about a population study and the growth, especially in the southern part of the United States. How does that impact your ministry, your planning for the future?
It synchronizes beautifully with the Great Commission because it's predicted in the next 24 years between now and 2030. As an example, in Georgia, the population is going to grow just under 50%. And what that means is another 4 million people are going to be moving into this state. And I can give you an example. One of our congregations is in LaGrange, Georgia. I was there to ordain a new pastor about a month ago. And as many times as I've been there, I made a wrong turn coming out and heading north back toward Atlanta. And I ended up in, rural area. They are building a 4-lane highway between LaGrange, Georgia and Noonan, Georgia. Is just an indication of what's coming. Tennessee is predicted to grow by approximately a little under 2 million in the next 24 years. And although the growth will be somewhat less, Alabama and Mississippi are also going to be growing states. But as I had mentioned to you earlier, the statistic that the U.S. Census Bureau has published is one I'm still trying to comprehend. And that statistic is by 2030, 40% of the U.S. population is going to be living in the 16 southern states. And it just seems to me, as a pastor in the church, I get very excited about the opportunities of sharing the good news of the gospel in that kind of a growing environment.
Part of the growth that we're experiencing here in the South, too, is comprised of immigrants.
Yes.
How do you meet those unique challenges?
We have, in the last half dozen years, planted Latino, Hispanic ministries. We have here in the Atlanta area a Korean ministry, new congregation. And we have an Oromo-Ethiopian congregation with a second one coming soon. The problem we have is having bilingual pastors who can serve those congregations. And so as we continue to plant multicultural congregations, that's one of our biggest needs, is having those people available, training them, and then launching them into those ministries.
One of the things that we hope happens as a result of our ministry here is to encourage our listeners to be involved in a local congregation. And I'd like to focus a little bit on that with you. What message do you think people today need to hear more from their pulpits?
I think basically the love of Christ, and then in a countercultural way, say that we are at our fullest as human beings when we are in community. In our radically individualistic culture, to be in community and to see that as the most important aspect of our discipleship is totally countercultural. I believe, though, that that's what Scripture clearly teaches. And that's why Scripture, for me, is countercultural. I say that with a smile because it seems to me that's another opportunity to bring people together, not only to worship the Lord, but then to reach out, as the love of Christ shows us very clearly.
And I'm wondering, along that line, if maybe our churches are doing enough to encourage, to equip folks to not just receive the word from the pulpit, but to turn around and put it into action. Do you think that's a problem?
I think that is changing with the study of generations, particularly the one that is now growing up, that there is a sense in latter generations that there is a need for community. There is a need to be benevolent. Even apart from the church, we're beginning to see that. And it seems to me that gives us as the church an opportunity to reach to those younger generations.
What if we disagree with something our pastor says in the pulpit? What should we do?
I think I always follow Matthew 18, especially when I sense there is maybe a conflict. Obviously, I would go to that person privately, but would also listen, obviously, to what has happened. Part of my role as a bishop is what is called oversight. And so part of my call, and I also believe this is true of pastors, is to protect the word as it is recorded in Scripture and as we live it out.
We keep hearing that our mainline denominations are losing members. Should churches be doing something different, or maybe the people in those churches? How can we address that?
I think in our denomination, in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, we are in the midst of issuing a call. It's called Lutherans Read the Bible. And I think given generally the illiteracy of the Bible, not only in this culture, but in many of our congregations, that is a joyful call to get back into our heritage. For Lutherans, that also means connecting Scripture with the Lutheran confessions, which are our basic statements of faith. In other words, what we believe about Scripture. Because, for example, once you get back into the New Testament and you see the faith modeled by our Lord and then modeled by the disciples, it seems to me once you immerse yourself into that culture, which is countercultural to where we are today, that's when I get excited, because that's when people open their lives. One of my fondest memories in the midst of a disaster was a quote by my colleague, Bishop Steve Bowman, of the Metro New York Synod after 9/11, now 5 years ago. I've never forgotten this. He said, "Our hearts were broken, but they were broken open." Mm. When Christians' hearts are broken open, it is exciting to watch them reach out to others, both in their communities across this nation and around the world. Another quote. Our congregation on the Mississippi coast, Christus Victor Lutheran Church, Ocean Springs, Mississippi. It's one of the congregations that I continually go back to in the midst of the recovery there from Katrina. Hanging in the narthex, handwritten for many months after Katrina hit, was this simple message. It said, "Hurricane Katrina was an act of nature. What is happening here is an act of God." Mm. In the midst of unprecedented destruction, to watch, to see what the church did there in that place, for me was miraculous. In terms of the medical clinic they set up right after Katrina, 150 people were sleeping and living in that building. And then a major distribution center all these months since the disaster.
Wonderful. Bishop Ronald Warren, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for the invitation.